called my talk this morning, What God Has Started, He Will Finish. I have a friend, if I can get this to work. Technology and me doesn't work very well. Sorry, here we go, we'll go back. There we go.
I hope that wasn't you and I this morning.
I remember a friend of mine who was really keen on renovating cars and fixing them up. I remember he was trying to fix this car, or started to fix this car, 40 years ago. It hasn't progressed any further than what you can see here. I guess he got distracted somewhere along the line, did he not? There's a house in Belconnen, up where I live, that has remained in this particular state, apart from the fact that those men are on the top. They're no longer men on the top. But we've been going to visit my son at Sunshine, which is up in the area that I live, probably for about 20 odd years. The house has remained exactly as it is now for those 20 years. Nothing has been done. Scaffolding is around, timber and stuff is around. I guess someone has got distracted in doing something, finishing off what they had started. I'll go back. I have a friend that went through with me when I was doing my master's degree. She was keen and really pretty intelligent, really intelligent. After the master's degree, she was going to do a PhD. But somewhere along the line, she got distracted, really sad, and never got around to finishing her PhD. She got distracted, I guess, with life. Brilliant young lady. Now she works in Coles, stacking shelves. Seems a bit of a waste, does it not? I've been a Christian for some time, and I've talked to you about where I became a Christian and how I became a Christian, all those sorts of things. I've mentioned in the bulletin that you've got in front of you that the Christian life is not a sprint, but it is a marathon. I recognise that most of you are very young. You've got a long way ahead of you, hopefully. Although it would be great if the Lord came back. We're talking about that, weren't we, Ella? And so you've got a number of years where you need to follow the Lord and serve Him. And I trust that you will continue to be encouraged. Bible says, run the race, fight the good faith, persevere to the very end. You know, I have been talking to the children at school over the last couple of weeks about the amazing fact of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were talking about this morning coming down in the car, the distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Would have taken quite a number of days for them to walk and ride a donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. The fact that Mary was a virgin, Joseph, came to Bethlehem, there wasn't a place for them to live or to stay, and they had the baby in a manger, in a stable. Although when I was in Bethlehem, we were told it was in a cave. We walked down through two churches, down a number of steps, and we were told this is where Jesus was born. I've been talking to the children, and I've come to be aware of the fact that Jesus, though he came to live a life, showing us what God was really like, but he came really to die on a cross so that your sins and my sin can be forgiven. I don't understand the suffering that we went through. He had nails in his hands, nails in his feet, crown of thorns on his head, whipped across the back with a whip 39 times. Why? Because he loved us. Why? Because he came to be the saviour of the world, your saviour and mine. And so during the week we've been talking in our assemblies, the fact that Jesus came, yes, and we celebrate Christmas, but his point in coming was to die on a cross so that we may have our sins forgiven. You know, the Bible teaches us it's by grace that we are saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, we can't earn our own salvation in any way. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that we can boast in any form or other. And you know, the Bible tells us it's by confession of your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. It's a matter of confession, repentance, turning to God and believing, and by grace are we saved through faith. You know, there are two things in my Christian experience that I've learned. I'm not very bright, so I've just learned two things. Okay. The first is that I need to continue to serve God and to serve others. Not because I have to do that, but because I want to do that. Why? Because God loved me, and I want to show him how much I love him too. Scriptures encourage us by saying this: let us not grow weary in doing well. You've got a few years ahead of you, some of you. A few years to not grow weary. For in due time we will receive a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to the family of faith. I've learnt not to grow weary, though sometimes things have been difficult. I've learnt not to grow weary in seeking to do God's will, in serving him and serving others. You know, Kamsi Chinese Congregational Church have been tremendously wonderful to both Helen and myself over the many years. I remember when I ended up in hospital with a bypass operation, how the church assisted and looked after both Helen and my family while I was in hospital. I remember when we decided that we were going to move from George's Hall up into the Central Coast up to Morisset. I remember people came, members of the congregation came and helped tidy up our house and help us pack up the many things that we needed to move. Church has been wonderful to us and I'm very, very thankful. Here's a picture of people serving others. So, second thing that I've learned is this, that I need to share the gospel message with the world in which I live. Why? Not because I have to, because I want to. It's the greatest news that the world has got, and we need to let other people know how much Jesus loves them and why he died on a cross. This morning we're going to look at a few thoughts coming from the book of Philippians. It was written to a church. I can get it to work. I think there we go. There's a church. Not quite like us. We were a young church, wonderful, terrific. First thought is, if I can get it, there we go. No, it's not. Here we are. There we are. Thank you. Well done. Paul wrote this letter to the saints in Philippi. It was a personal letter to the church in Philippi. He wanted to thank them for their gift and prayers and share in their joy with them while he waited in for his upcoming trial while he was in prison. And here he is, writing the letter to the Philippian church. And in the map you can see where Philippi is. It's up the top there, just before the Black Sea. So there he is. He wrote, next one please, that'd be great. There we go, going back. Okay, good. Going back and on. There we go forward. Right, it says this. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting that Paul could have said apostle, or he could have said super believer, but he didn't. Called himself a servant. As I said, we've come to serve God and for others. He wrote to the Christians in Philippi, indicating the fact that grace and peace came from God our Father. I understand that grace is so important for us. In Hebrews, we are reminded, let us therefore approach God's throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive grace and peace and mercy to help us in a time of need. Peace, of course, is offered. Once we were enemies, now we are God's children. So Paul and Timothy wrote to the saints in Philippi. The preaching of the gospel brought people from all different backgrounds together at Philippi. There were people like Lydia. She was a dealer in purple, obviously very wealthy, and her family and her household. There was the jailer and his family. There were many Gentiles. There weren't a lot of Jews there. And there was a female slave that harassed Paul for a period of time before he cast the demon out of her. Preaching of the gospel brings lots of people together from all different nationalities and all different classes and kind. Galatians says there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Over the many years working with OIC ministry, I've had the privilege of speaking in churches that have been Vietnamese churches and Korean churches, Italian churches, Arabic churches, Swedish churches, and some Australian churches as well. We're all Christians, all brothers and sisters in Christ. And the preaching of the gospel brings people into a relationship with God. And there's a picture of all of the people. And as I look around, we've got lots of people from different backgrounds, different experiences, but we're all one in Christ. But when we become Christians, Paul addressed them at Philippi, and we can address ourselves this morning as saints. Holy ones, set apart for God's servants. Isn't that wonderful? We are children of God. We have our sins forgiven. We have the gift of eternal life. We are God's children. Don't you get excited by that? I am. If you've received Jesus as Lord and Saviour of your life, you are a child of God, you are a saint, set apart for God's service. And I'm sure we can be rejoicing in that. My second point is this. Paul was grateful for the Philippian partnership with him in the gospel. Our text indicates this. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul thanked the people for the gift that they sent to him. He thanked them for his support in prayer, and he rejoiced with joy. I don't know how often Paul prayed for them, how often Paul remembered them, but when he did, he prayed for them. It's the same for us. I have found on many occasions that the Lord brings to my attention people that I need to pray for. I've been praying recently for Grace. You know Grace? And Ying. I've been thinking about them. Don't know how they're getting on. I've been praying for them. I've been praying for many of you as the Lord has brought my attention by the Spirit so that I can support you as you live your Christian life. Joy is the dominant theme of this particular book. The secret of joy is grounded in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Joy can be experienced even when circumstances are terrible, because we know that Jesus loves us, protects us, guides us, and wants the very best for us. The book is divided into four parts. Chapter 1 speaks about joy in suffering. Chapter 2 speaks about joy in serving. Chapter 3 speaks about joy in believing. Chapter 4 speaks about joy in giving. When Paul prays for the believers in Philippi, it was always with joy because of their partnership. They shared in the ministry that Paul had, by supporting him in prayer and supporting him financially, not only once, but a number of times. Partnership means, in the Greek, I'm not going to even try, but it speaks of a close fellowship and a relationship with each other. I love the picture of the Bible, of the body of Christ, as Paul talks about in Corinthians. Talks about that we're in a body. Maybe you're an eye, I don't know. Maybe you're a foot, I don't know. Maybe you're a hand, I don't know. But we're all part of the body of Christ. We each one have gifts. We each one have talents. We each one have responsibilities within the body. But we all are just as important as everybody else. There is no difference. We are in the body of Christ to build up the body of Christ, to equip it and to reach out into the world. Recently, I was doing some mowing, and I have a problem with walking into various things. I don't know whether you do, but I do. I walked into a tree, and I bashed my head quite badly, and it started to bleed. And I realised, as the blood started to trickle down my face, that I was hurt, and all the parts of my body started to react to that. And I thought about it. It's exactly the same as the body of Christ, is it not? When one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. When other parts of the body rejoice, we ought to rejoice. We need each other. We need to support each other. You know, we have the privilege of being partners in spreading the gospel message in Judea, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I used to think that I would need to pack up my bag and move off to Judea, then off to Samaria, and then off to the ends of the earth. But I don't need to do that. We can do it concurrently. I value your support in my work and my ministry in the schools. I've done 2 combined assemblies so far. There are 6 more to do in the next couple of weeks. Thank you for praying and supporting me in that. We also are rejoicing with Samuel and Emily and the birth of their son. In our bulletin, week by week, we put down at least 1 or more missionary organisations that we can support, like SOAS and OSD Ministries and Barnabas Aid. It helps us to realise that we can be partners with others as they minister the gospel message to those in the places that God has placed them. You know, we can't pray for them all. It would be lovely to be able to do that. But you know, it's important that we ask God which ones we ought to support. Ones that we believe that God would have us do. Suggest that you may look at those that give as much as they can to the missionaries themselves rather than the administration. But certainly it's important that we can share in the ministries of others. Like the Philippians did with Paul, we can do that likewise as we share the gospel message with others. Yes, we're saints. We can be partners in sharing the gospel message. And thirdly, Paul promises that God will complete his work in the lives of the believers and those in Philippi. Being confident, and I believe the word confident in the Greek means fully persuaded of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Why? Well, I believe that God starts something, he's going to finish it. When God says something, he's going to do it. We've got to believe it. I love this verse in Philippians. Do everything without grumbling. Even in a wonderful church, there was a bit of grumbling going on. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. We need to live a life of faith and obedience as a believer. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to fulfill his good purpose. When we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and begins to change us from the inside. As we obey him, as we trust him, as we serve him, his Holy Spirit works from inside, producing the fruit of the Spirit. And he will continue to do that. How does God work in us? Well, firstly, we are justified. If you're a believer, we are justified. The text says this: therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification has to do with the past. God began a good work in you and in me when we believed in Jesus Christ, and we were justified by faith. And I did remind you that when Jesus died on the cross and we believe, we are justified. Secondly, we are being sanctified. 1 Thessalonians says this, "May the God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." To be sanctified means to be set apart for God's purpose and to grow in holiness. Sanctification is to do with the present. God is continuing to do his good work in you, the work that he began when you were justified, as in the past. It's a process that is going on. God is working in you, producing more and more the characteristics of Jesus. And isn't that aim that we are to be like him? And here we are as we spend time at the cross, dying to self and allowing him to change us so we become more and more like Jesus. And finally, we will be glorified. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. For those God foreknew and also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestinate, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. I like the verse also in Romans. And those whom he foreordained, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. To be glorified means to be perfected in holiness, forever removed from the penalty and the power and the presence of sin. Glorification does, and is it referring to the future. When Jesus returns, the dead in Christ will be raised, and those believers still living will be transformed and will be glorified in God's presence. I get excited by that, don't you? I get excited by that. And here's a picture, what it may be when the Christ returns. When I look at the verse, this one here, being confident of this, at verse 6 in Philippians 1, being confident of this, he that began a good work in you, is referring to justification, will carry it on to completion. Talks about sanctification until the day of Jesus Christ, glorification. And so we be encouraged this morning. Well, I'm almost finished. Just my last thought. I made the comment that it's not a sprint, the Christian life, but a marathon. You have many years to go ahead, to live in a very difficult world, although I'm looking forward to Jesus coming back. I hope he comes soon. I want to encourage you, young people. I want to encourage you this morning as you set your sights to run the race of life, to fight the good fight. I want you to be encouraged to know this morning that if you are a believer, you are a saint, set apart for God's service and God's work. He has a task for you, a responsibility for you, but you are a saint. Praise God. Secondly, you have the privilege, I have the privilege of being a partner in the work of the gospel. Isn't that exciting? We can share in the gospel message. We don't have to do everything. We're not alone. We have others that are working too. Finally, God will continue to do his work in us, changing us more and more by his Spirit into the people he wants us to be. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the privilege of being able to speak this morning. Thank you for the privilege of knowing that I'm a saint, that we're saints. Father, knowing that we can share in the gospel message, not only in Kempsey, but in Sydney and throughout the world. Father, we thank you that as we trust in you and as we live a life of obedience and faith, that you will change us from the inside to be people that show the others that we belong to you. And for this we would ask in Jesus' name. Amen.